chances every weekday to win $1,000 coming Thursday, March 29th. Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
You're listening to our number two in the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Hour number two on a hump day in the doghouse. We are your home for the $1,000 payoff. Comes tomorrow, 8 a.m. will be your first chance to win tomorrow. And, of course, you'll have a chance at 2 o'clock and at 5 o'clock as well to win $1,000. You have to listen for the word of the day. And even though we will be dark tomorrow with the Tom Abraham Show because of Braves baseball, still make sure you're listening during the show as well. 2 o'clock-ish, 5 o'clock-ish, and you'll have your chance to win $1,000. Of course, tomorrow's opening day in Major League Baseball. I think it should be a national holiday. Everybody's playing tomorrow. There'll be four games on ESPN. If you have the MLB extra innings package or the MLB TV package, watch them all. I got the package. Pay for that too. $9 or $10 a month for this. $9 or $10 a month for that. We'll be checking it out, though. I'm watching a lot of baseball. That's just the way that thing is going to go. All right, we are waiting on Matt Scalise to join us, and a couple of things that we want to get into with him. One, the stadium in Birmingham, and then, of course, the update on Alabama and Auburn in practice. But Auburn Athletic Director Alan Green has issued about just as strong a commentary as you could that Bruce Pearl was going to be the coach next year unless, quote, something else were to arise from the FBI and NCAA investigation into Auburn's basketball program. He was on our air this morning on the roundtable, and he said that it's in Auburn's best interest to be staying the course. I had not had a chance until I got here to really interact with Coach Pearl and his staff and really to get to an understanding, a lay of the land. I felt that after being on campus for a few weeks and being around the team, that I had a good enough chance to understand Coach, look at his program, and then just realize, you know what? We have a great person here for us, and we want to see that success continue. We want to do it the right way, and it's unfortunate that the state of college basketball is where it's at. We didn't get that way overnight. We certainly won't fix things overnight. But knowing the process of the FBI and the NCAA investigation is, who knows how long it's going to be, but it's going to be lengthy, so I think it's in our best interest to stay the course. So Bruce Pearl, not going anywhere. And I think that people would think that he wouldn't be going anywhere unless, of course, something were to come out that we haven't heard yet. Green went on to say, one of the things that's really important to the Auburn family is that we do things the right way. Bruce feels like he's done nothing wrong. He and I have talked about that, and I don't have a reason to do anything other than what we've been doing and support him and his student-athletes. You know, in the best case scenario, the only thing you could say negative about Bruce Pearl was that he hired Chuck Person. That Chuck Person was his, you know, assistant coach. And if you want to be one of those, well, the coach is responsible for his staff guys, and that, you know, is true, then that's his only sin, is it was a guy on his staff. He's responsible for his guys. But That doesn't mean that he was doing anything nefarious himself. All right, we'll see if we're going to get Matt. Lines are open at 866-485-9867. Auburn whacked Alabama last night 5-2 in a Cap City Classic. T-Mac, ninth time in 10 years, right? That's a ninth time in 10 years. Non-conference game. Special midweek game. They play this Cap City Classic every year. You know, midweek pitchers. But, Tony, I think that's the ninth time in the 10 years that they've been playing this thing that Auburn has won that deal.
That is correct. That's what I've heard. And, Alabama and Auburn, you obviously think they take everything seriously between one another.
Yeah.
But, at the same time, I like to assume that some of the Alabama-Auburn sports seem more important than others. I figured out that doesn't seem like the case because I've heard over and over again today how Auburn has been rubbing that in to Alabama's face. So, obviously, if you play for one of the schools or if you're a fan, you take it all very seriously, I guess.
I think everything is taken extremely seriously. There's no doubt about it. I think that the baseball rivalry, I mean, obviously, football is first and foremost. Next has to be men's basketball. I don't know how the chicks basketball feel about each other. But I think baseball has to be next. Maybe softball. What do you think is more fierce, the Alabama-Auburn baseball rivalry or the Alabama-Auburn softball rivalry? Those of you that follow softball could help me with that because I don't really pay a whole lot of attention to softball.
See, I like softball, and yeah. I don't pay hardcore attention to it, but I keep up with it here and there, and I know Alabama and Auburn typically are very good.
Yeah.
So, I would say that's been taken more seriously. If I had to guess, I mean,
even more so than the baseball, and I think there's a pretty good rivalry in gymnastics.
Yeah, I know Alabama's usually at the top in gymnastics, so I don't know much about Auburn gymnastics. I really don't know much about gymnastics. I know that much, but I think it's softball. Yeah, I really do. Because of how good year in and year out each team is and how they're both competing for national championships, much kind of like football. I mean, the only real difference is, well, one, it's softball and not football, but it's just some chicks out there. But it's fun, man. Softball's a lot of fun to watch. I like it. That's a chick sport I like.
Dan Patrick is out. He says it's his call. Ooh. With the NBC's Football Night in America, Sunday Night Football. He's going to continue doing his radio show. He has been with Football Night in America for 9 years with Rodney Harrison and Tony Dungy. Apparently, Mike Tirico is going to replace him. He said they offered him a contract, a 5-year deal, back in December. And he said, quote, "I didn't want to do it and not love doing it." So he's out. Mike Tirico is in. I like Dan Patrick all the way around, but I like Dan Patrick on Sunday Night Football. I thought he was very good on Sunday Night Football, and Mike Tirico, I think, will do a great job. But it seems kind of worn out to me. Maybe Dan Patrick felt that way.
Now I like Tirico too, so I want to say that right off the bat. But I mean, he's no Dan Patrick, right? I mean, yeah. Dan Patrick's pretty great, and reading between the lines there, is he saying he doesn't love doing that anymore?
Yeah, he says he didn't love it. He said, I didn't want to, it was a nice way to say, kind of a backwards way to say it. I didn't want to do it and not love doing it. In other words, I don't love doing it. That's what he's saying. I don't want to do it and not love doing it. So in other words, I don't love doing it.
Come on, Dan.
He's getting up there. How old is Dan Patrick? He's getting up there.
Old.
It's a trip to New York, He's got his studio and, wherever that town is that they're in, they're not right in New York. I think they're in Connecticut or someplace like that. And he's got more money than he'll ever can spend. Any three generations will be able to spend. I'm going to say Dan Patrick's 63 years old.
It's a good guess. Let me look it up.
I'm going with 63 on Dan Patrick. Might be older even.
Ooh, he's 61. He'll be 62 in May.
Dan Patrick will be 62 in May. Dan Patrick's only 4.5 years older than me. I think I look younger than Dan Patrick. Well, I am younger than Dan Patrick. All right, joining us now, Matt Scalise, Woody Anderson Ford VIP Hotline. Matt, welcome in. How are you?
Good, Tom.
Matt, you're getting a new stadium. We had a feeling that this was coming, but you're getting a new stadium in Birmingham. Those of us in the rest of the state, is this a good thing? Should we be fired up about this, or is it a little bit short-sighted building what amounts to as a, you know, small college football stadium? Maybe it's a soccer stadium. I don't know.
There are plenty of people in Birmingham who are very excited about it, including some of my coworkers at AL.com, Joe Goodman, who is a outspoken free UAB guy. Mm-hmm. Is very, very excited about it and views this as a positive step for the city. John Archbold wrote some very positive things about it and what it says about the city. I disagree with my colleagues on it, and I'm a lifelong Birmingham resident. I want good things for Birmingham. I want my city to be as great as it can possibly be. And to me, this is a big compromise. I think this is a stadium with a lot of limitations to what can be done with it. Mm-hmm. And essentially, this is a commitment for the city. It's not a ton of money, but it's something the city's going to be paying for the next 30 years. So we're not going to be building another stadium in the next 3 decades if this is what we are committing to as our city's major public venue. I think a 55,000-seat stadium limits you pretty severely on what you're able to do. I think it's a sign that Birmingham views itself as kind of stuck in this position of being a city that's not capable of supporting a professional sports franchise. And that's really disappointing to me as a citizen of Birmingham and a lifelong Birminghamian. I think that's a huge bummer. And, there have been plenty of people fighting with me about it on Twitter all day and telling me this is a great thing and it's going to make the city look better. All the events that we currently host will be in a better venue. And that's, those are good things. I'm not saying that it's a completely negative experience. I think Birmingham should have held out for better. I think they should have thought a little harder about what could be done with the money and what could be done to raise more money and build something that could give this city a chance to actually move up a rung on the ladder when it comes to major events, professional sports franchise.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't even know it was 55,000. I thought it was smaller than that. So that's a little bit encouraging to know that it's 55,000. But let's be honest, Alabama or Auburn couldn't even have their spring game there. You know what I mean? I mean, if you did it right, I mean, you could have Alabama or Auburn would have a spring game there. You could get maybe a major bowl game. You could maybe host that. I'm talking about right, like the dome that they started building in 2009. Hey, how's the dome coming, by the way? I know they broke ground in 2009 on that. How's that thing coming? Is it coming along or what?
I think the shovel is still sticking out of the ground.
The shovel's still sticking. But look, Birmingham, I'm not kidding, in my opinion, all right? Looking at this from 90 miles to the north, 80 miles to the north, Birmingham could have been a host city for the college football playoff. You know what I mean? It could have been that kind of a city with the dome. They could have brought the SEC championship in on rotation or something along those lines. And, I think once you do this, you kind of pigeonhole yourself as to what you are. And what are you going to do, put an MLS? I mean, yes, I know you get UAB, probably get the state football championships and things like that. But you can you're going to get an MLS soccer team, a league which is really AA soccer worldwide. I mean, I know they call it Major League, but there's nothing major about Major League Soccer. So, I'm with you a little bit. And $3 million a year for $30 million, they can take that out of the parking lots around downtown. I mean, that's nothing, really.
Yeah, look, ultimately, the two arguments that get thrown back at me the most about the benefits of this stadium are, number one, UAB playing football, which, again, UAB was already playing football in Birmingham. That's not a new addition. They have a nicer place to play now. But UAB football, I would say to plan your 30-year future around UAB football is probably not the best gamble, considering the recent history of that program. And I would say with soccer, look, has soccer grown in America over the past 20 years? Yes, it has. Is the trajectory for Major League Soccer in America anywhere close to being what any of the other professional sports leagues are at this point? With the possible exception of NHL, I would say no, it's not. They average about 20,000 fans across the entire league per game. That's a minor event, okay? Especially for this state. And let's not pretend. I know nobody wants to compare one sport to the other, but let's not pretend that this state doesn't already host major athletic events. They do. They just don't host it in our biggest city. They host it in Tuscaloosa and Auburn, and they have 100,000 fans come to a sporting event in two cities in our state 8 times a year. This state can host and support major, major athletic events. And Birmingham has decided that it doesn't want to be a part of that, and it doesn't believe it's capable of competing on that scale. I think that's really disappointing. I think it lacks ambition. And, you know, I'm disappointed about the move. I think that it's not a good sign for Birmingham, and it's not a good thing for the long-term future of the city. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope it works out. I hope that I am shocked to find that this 55,000-seat stadium somehow turns into a huge deal for the city of Birmingham that transforms our downtown area even more than it already has been already.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's good. I mean, and I'm happy for UAB, but look, they can have 25,000 people in an 80,000-seat stadium. They can have 25,000 people in a 55,000-seat stadium. There's going to be 25,000 people, you know, at best going to those games. You know, I know they had the big 40,000 crowd, you know, when they came back and everything. But for the most part, you know, it's going to be that kind of a situation. Matt Scalise with us from AL.com. I'm with you because I think that Birmingham is a hub in the South, and they've seen over the last 20 years Nashville. Birmingham used to be bigger than Nashville. Nashville has gone by it. Atlanta's building stadiums like they're going out of style. And then there's New Orleans, which is much smaller than Birmingham. And so now Birmingham kind of, you know, they're not in that realm anymore. It's almost like they're accepting fate as a Triple A city type of deal.
Yeah, I mean, Birmingham basically at this point has decided that it would be fine to be, you know, Columbus, Ohio. I got nothing against Columbus, Ohio. I've never been there. I'm sure the people that live there love it. And I love living in Birmingham, but I would like my city to continue to grow and continue to be on the trajectory it's been over the last 10 years, where we've just seen tremendous, you know, transformative growth, especially downtown. I don't think this does very much for that. I think probably the negatives of it are not anything too severe or intense outside of wasting money. But I also am not going to be celebrating in the streets today like I think some of my colleagues have been, because I just don't think it's going to do anything. I don't think it's going to improve anything about the experience of living in Birmingham in a substantial way. We are going to have the same events that we've been having. We're probably not going to be able to attract any new or better events at all, unless you're a big fan of international soccer and can really discern the differences between a U.S. friendly and a World Cup qualifier. Most people in Birmingham can't and don't care about those things. But if you're a soccer fan, you're real excited today. If you're a UAB fan, you're really excited today. I think most Birminghamians will not see any real difference in the quality of experiences that are coming to town.
Yeah, and the reason too, and I don't want to dump on MLS, you know, too much, because I know we call it quote unquote Major League Soccer, and it's the top level of soccer in this country. But the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NHL and the NBA, those are the best leagues in the world for those sports. There are five leagues in Europe that are vastly better than the MLS. Five different leagues in Europe that are in different countries that are vastly better than what the MLS has. The second division in the UK would be better than MLS soccer. I watched a little bit of that USL game out of Nashville, and that was like watching a club game. I mean, people who watch a little bit, you don't have to watch a lot of soccer, a little bit of soccer, realize that the MLS product is akin to Double A baseball, you know, and Double A baseball is fun, but to call it Major League is not, it's not Major League. There's nothing Major League about it.
That's probably got a lot to do with the fact that the U.S. is not participating in the World Cup that's coming up here. So I think this is not a sport until our country nationally, I think, is takes pride in soccer. And the only way we're going to take pride in soccer is if our national team is competitive on the biggest scale possible. I think until that happens, you're not going to see that sport grow in this country. And you're definitely not going to see it grow in markets where it doesn't already have a big following and a big fan base. And Birmingham is one of those. I think to grow the popularity of that sport in this market and in other, you know, middle American markets that don't already have a big soccer following, it's going to have to become an issue of national pride for us. And it's not right now. And it's not going to be for at least until the next World Cup, if the U.S. team can qualify for that one.
Now, and let's say this. I think there will be spring football in that stadium. It isn't going to be Alabama or Auburn, but I think it's an AAF town. I think there's another league going to come to Birmingham. I really believe that. Those AAF guys, with Bill Polian and other players, Troy Polamalu and Jared Allen and those guys that are behind it, they really have their stuff together, and they've got a deal already with CBS and CBS Sports Network, which is huge. I would be stunned with that new stadium news. That's the perfect stadium for something like that. I would be stunned if this new Alliance of American Football, or the AAF, doesn't place a team in Birmingham to begin play next spring. What do you think?
I think the XFL will also target Birmingham. And again, for both of those leagues, as somebody who's attended quite a few of the, you know, upstart minor league football attempt in Birmingham, and as somebody that worked for one of those attempts, I can tell you Birmingham's always been a part of all of them, and they've always shown enthusiasm for it, at least, you know, relative to the other cities involved in those leagues. The question is, it is so difficult to make those successful on a sustained basis. To go from, you know, you can have success opening week of your league. You could maybe even have all the way through your first season, but nobody's really been able to do it beyond, you know, one season outside of the USFL. So I think I'm very curious to see how this goes down. I think the AAF having a TV partner lined up, I know that's what killed the one that I was a part of, was not being able to secure TV rights. I think that probably will have a lot to do with the XFL, you know, even happening or not.
But, I don't think it's going to happen.
Having CBS as a broadcast partner is a big step, but there's a lot that has to go right for these things to come together and for them to attract talent, more importantly.
Yeah, there's a lot more money behind the AAF than even Vince's $100 million that he's pledging to the XFL. I don't think the XFL happens. I'll be honest with you. I mean, he'd be nuts. There's not room for two of those. If these people have their ducks in a row like this, Vince would be better off becoming a season ticket holder, sit back, put the $100 million back in your pocket, and just enjoy spring football. You don't need the aggravation, because you can't have two of these leagues. And these guys are way, way ahead. I watched the actual, you know, press conference that they held for 45 minutes, and I can't believe how far down the road they are. They're going to be ready to play next year, and they're going to be on CBS and all of that. So I think that, but I think that Birmingham would be perfect for it, and so we'll see what happens with it. So, all right, before I let you go, were you surprised to see Tua throwing a ball already? I mean, you know, that's his index finger. That's the finger the ball comes off of. And a week after surgery, and I know it wasn't major surgery, but a week after surgery, you surprised he even put a ball in his hand and tell him to go ahead and start throwing? He's apparently throwing with some zip.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of degrees to which you could be injured even with a broken finger. So I think probably he got lucky. He probably had the ability to have, you know, a type of procedure on it that made it easier for him than maybe Nick Saban had originally feared. So I think they caught a break a little bit there as far as Tua goes. But, he's also a guy, I don't know if this made much of a difference, but he was probably able to kind of keep involved at practice, in part because, as we've written about on AL.com before, Tua is actually right-handed naturally, which is a weird story, but his dad actually taught him to throw lefty, even though he is a natural right-handed thrower. So he was able to still, you know, be out there doing a lot of things, even kind of chuck the ball around a little bit, even though he wasn't using what is now his primary throwing arm.
I didn't know that about him. That's interesting. You know, Phil Mickelson is a right-handed. Everything Phil Mickelson does, and his nickname is Lefty, everything Phil Mickelson does is right-handed except for play golf. He's one of those kind of guys.
I don't know how you teach yourself to do that. It's very strange, but we've talked to his dad about it before, and he just sort of decided that it would be – to his advantage to be a left-handed quarterback, and I guess it's gone well so far.
Yeah, it's working out for him. I call him Thria, but does the little Tungavaola, does he throw lefty too, or is he right-handed?
You know, I don't even know. Remembering off the top of my head, I'll have to see. We've been following him around a little bit. I should know, but I can't think of what he is right now.
Yeah, he should be. We should know. I mean, really, we should know. We're supposed to know these things, but we're supposed to know what his shoe size is. We're supposed to know what grade he got in biology. You know, it's Alabama. We're supposed to know, you know, what these kids are doing when they're 15 years old. So, all right, man. Appreciate you, Matt. Very interesting commentary on the stadium because I thought I was out in left field with my thoughts, which are very close to what your thoughts are as to this being a little bit short-sighted. And so it's interesting to – I had no idea where you were on it, so it's interesting to hear your thoughts be similar, but I'm not the only one thinking that way.
Yeah, well, look, like I said, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm underestimating the impact it's going to have. But I don't think I am.
Yeah. All right, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Tom.
Nah, Matt Scalise. All right, when we come back, let's talk some baseball. Alan Carpenter is on deck with TomahawkTake.com. He's next right here on 730-1039. Boom.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Op. WUMP.
Cole Kublik here to tell you about my friends at Valley Equipment Rental. You can check them out online at valleyequipmentrents.com. And with landscaping season just around the corner, if you're looking for an excavator, backhoe, trencher, skid steer, or more, check out Valley Equipment Rental, located right there on South Memorial Parkway, right there near Airport Road. All the equipment's online at valleyequipmentrents.com. Or give Ross and Tanner a call today at 256-964-6081. That's 256-964-6081 for Valley Equipment Rental.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention! If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now at 800-360-4612. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now. 800-360-4612. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-360-4612. That's 800-360-4612.
The credit card companies are bullies, and they don't fight fair. Once they max out your debt, they keep hitting you when you're down, slamming you with outrageous interest rates and late fees to make sure you never get on your feet again. But now you have someone in your corner who will help you fight back and get debt-free faster than you ever imagined. We're Clear One Advantage. Call us now for free information to see how quickly you can resolve your debt. 1-800-330-5822. We'll stand up to the credit card companies and fight to help you resolve your debt in the shortest time possible and save the most money possible, too. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. If we don't resolve your debt, you don't owe us a single penny. So let us give you a fighting chance to defeat your debt. Call now for this life-changing free information and see how much you could save. 1-800-330-5822. That's 1-800-330-5822.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds, and more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest, I tried a different product, and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
There are no games on the air tonight, but you can tune in tomorrow for opening day of baseball, where the Atlanta Braves will be taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. That's all right here on The Ump.
What is us?
Us is a foundation.
Us is the future.
Us is a bond.
But right now, that bond is fraying.
And we need a place that could make it whole.
From diabetes prevention to safety around water.
The Y fills the gaps.
And bridges our divides.
But they can't do it without us.
Donate today.
Because where there's a Y, there's an us.
Read by members of the Y.
The Y, for a better us.
Weather is sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Firestone Complete Auto Care, keeping cars running newer, longer. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Mostly cloudy and mild, a chance of a few showers this afternoon, the high 75. Tonight, rain and thunderstorms increasing from the west, the low at 60. Tomorrow, rain and thunderstorms likely. Rain could be heavy at times, the high 70. And for Friday, the sky becoming mostly sunny, the high 62. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Wipe your paws. It's time to enter the doghouse.
Tomorrow it'll be Julio Teheran for, I think, the fifth straight year, something like that. That will open things up for the Atlanta Braves against the Philadelphia Phillies. You'll hear it all right from the beginning to the end right here on the Ump, your station for the Braves. They'll knock us off the air, and I'm glad to do it because it's opening day and it should be a holiday anyway. We should all sit our big butts down right there in a Barca lounger and watch as much baseball as we can. And joining us now to talk about it, Alan Carpenter, he of TomahawkTake.com. Carp, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing real well, big dog. I hope to hang in there. I got a little hacking cough thing going, but we're better than being on the DL still.
Yeah, I think that means that tomorrow you don't say anything to anybody. You don't talk at all. Probably got to just stay home. Make sure that you're, you know, drinking get some of that emergency or something like that, cough drops, and try and find something on TV to watch from noon until midnight.
Well, that would be good, except that those guys at Chevrolet have decided to send me to Atlanta, so I'm actually going to be in the nosebleed seats tomorrow at SunTrust Park.
You should probably just go to the game tomorrow then at SunTrust Park and hang out up there and enjoy the game. It's going to be good weather, too, right? I mean, we don't have to worry about a potential rain out. We're not going to be listening to the Andy Griffith Show or anything. From what I understand, about 70, 72 degrees, similar to today, cloudy, very slight chance of rain.
Should be very good. In fact, there's been one game already rained out for tomorrow. That's Cincinnati Reds with the Nationals. So there'll be 28 teams in action tomorrow. We were hoping for all 30, but just going to miss out on that one.
Was that in Cincinnati or is that over there in Washington?
Cincinnati. They're going to get some flooding rains, it looks like. It's going to be kind of wet, so that's why they went in and called it.
All right. Okay, before we get into the lineup and what the prospects are, let's talk about the prospect that is Ronald Acuna Jr. Did he or did he not get an offer of an extension, because he's acting like, through the interpreter, I don't know nothing about nothing. Nobody said anything to me.
Well, it may depend how you want to parse the words, and I'm not sure that he's a media savvy enough to do it this cleverly, but he did mention something about not having seen the contract, as if there might have been one. But all indications are that there has been no formal offer made at this time. However, I do get the understanding that there might be some, at least mutual interest on both sides. That would be terrific for the Braves. It'd be terrific for Acuna. See if we could get him locked up long term, maybe 9 or 10 years worth in Atlanta Tomahawk colors. So that'd be terrific.
Yeah. All right, we know Teheran is going to start. Take us through the starting lineup. We'll start in the outfield, where it looks like it'll be Tyler Flowers with Ender Inciarte on one side of him and Preston Tucker on the other side. Is that right?
Nick Markakis, but I don't know who's going to start a catcher, whether it's Flowers or Suzuki tomorrow. Flowers has been nursing a bit of a groin issue, so he's going to perhaps take it a little slow as we go into the first week of the season. But, in fact, the Braves are carrying a third catcher, Chris Stewart, just in the off chance that they might need to substitute for Flowers when they do put him into games. But, yeah, the outfield right now looking like either Preston Tucker or Peter Bourgeau, who they just picked up from the Cubs waivers last week. Probably Tucker and Inciarte and Nick Markakis.
Right. Flowers, of course, behind the plate for him. And like you say, possibly carrying three guys there. Of course, Freddie, at first, there was a lot of talk about what would happen at third. It looks like it's Ryan Flaherty at this point.
That's correct. It happens to be the brother-in-law of Nick Markakis. But he's going to be a placeholder until Johan Camargo can get back into action. He's currently slated to return on April 6th. We'll see if he can. Oblique injuries turn out to be a little tricky sometimes, and we just hope that he's all the way back and not being rushed.
Yeah. Ozzie Albies will be at second. And Dansby Swanson, how tight a leash do you think they have on Dansby Swanson? Are they going to be, continue to be patient with him and hopefully he's the guy that was when he first came up? Or do you think they'll have a quick hook on him right now?
My suspicion is that he's going to have all the room he can, probably at least to summertime, before they would pull the plug on him if it seems warranted. He's still working out some things in the change to swing, but basically he's got to have a better pitch recognition on the sliders and be able to lay off them whenever necessary. And it's just going to be a matter of working through it and gaining confidence in what he can do at the plate. But certainly he'll be in there for defensive purposes as much as possible because he's the best defender they've got at the position regardless. So given the emphasis that Alex Anthopoulos has put on defense for this team, he's got his spot regardless for quite a while.
Yeah. All right. So where do we end up with in this rotation behind Teheran, Foltynewicz, McCarthy? I mean, how does this thing shake out right now?
Sean Newcomb will be the fourth at this time. The Braves on April 10th will need a fifth starter for the first time, and at that point they'll probably call up Anibal Sanchez. If you didn't hear, then they waived Scott Kazmir last week because he was just sort of a square peg round hole kind of fit on the team and just wasn't able to generate a velocity, and his arm was sort of dead already, and they just decided to go ahead and eat the money and release him. So Anibal Sanchez is the de facto fifth starter until early May when Luis Guijarro hopefully will be back. Other than that, they're just probably going to end up mixing and matching here and there on that fifth starter role here and there where guys need time off. They'll bring somebody in and rotate somebody out. So it'll almost be like a 5.5-man rotation for a while. But they don't want to overwork any of the starters, but the starters are, as you suggested, plus these other guys.
How much money are they eating on the other deal, on the Kazmir deal?
Kazmir this year is $9 million. He actually has an $18 million salary on the cap, but $9 million of that has been deferred for about 3 years. So they're only eating $9 million this year, but they will have a big check to write in I think 2021 to finish off his contract.
That seems to be, for a team that has an $80 million or so payroll, a lot of dead money for a guy like that. I think that only Freddie maybe makes more money than that in terms of, on the active roster.
That's correct. But what they did recall is that when they sent Matt Kemp to the Dodgers, Matt Kemp was on the books for another 3 seasons, and they really wanted to clear his salary as soon as possible. So they took on some extra salary, Kazmir being one, Brandon McCarthy being another, but the big one was actually Adrian Gonzalez. They took on all that salary in order to clear Matt Kemp. So they actually increased the payroll by something in the neighborhood of $40 million for this season alone so that they can get all that off the book for next year. Now, by my reckoning, the Braves will have something on the order of 30-ish million obligated for 2019, plus maybe an extra $10 million for things like arbitration guys and just, the fill-in players that you usually get. That should give them something on the order of $70 to $80 million in order to spend on free agents, guys that they trade for that they got to pay, things like that. So certainly they'll be able to fill the holes that they find this year, next year, and next offseason.
And they only have, they're under $80 million right now in terms of their active payroll. Their total payroll with all this other stuff they took on is $117 million. The cap is $197 million. They're in the middle of the pack. They're actually about 21st when it comes to active payroll. But, it makes one, not that you have to spend up to the $197 million. That's just the luxury tax. I mean, the Yankees are only spending $167 million this year. So, but there is money there to make moves. It just seems like they just don't want to do that at this particular point in time. It's almost as if they just keep pushing it forward another year and, you know, see if they can go out and win 75 to 80 games.
Well, kind of. The fact that they built their stadium in Battery, Atlanta, has actually put them in a little bit of a financial bind, sort of. When Liberty Media, their parent company, did their annual filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission a month ago or so, it actually had some revealing stuff in it. Yes, the Braves' revenue was strongly up in their first year at SunTrust Park, but their expenses were also strongly up as well. And that had to do with the construction and the construction loan that the Braves took out in order to build all that. Because everybody talks about the fact that Cobb County spent $300 to $400 million to help support the Braves. The Braves actually spent something on the order of $600 to $700 million in order to make all that happen. Yes, it'll be future revenue, but it also has to be paid off. And the problem is that Major League Baseball has some debt servicing rules that the Braves were actually falling a little short of for the last couple of years. So what they're doing now is getting that taken care of, as well as the clearing the contracts that I was talking about earlier, and getting all that done so that next year they'll be free of all those encumbrances and be able to spend money as they feel that the need is for the Braves coming up next year.
Yeah, they, you know, it's kind of a catch-22 in a way. I mean, they averaged $31,000 paid per game this past year, which is about 12th, I think, in the league, somewhere in there. But depending on how the product is, it's you know, you got to give them something to come and see. Your revenue is going to be down if the team isn't good enough for folks to come out and watch, or otherwise it's just going to look like what Turner Field looked like the last few years there as well. So it's kind of like catch-22 in terms of what you give them, but it is tough to get in and out of there. I mean, there is so much construction in the peach tree, you know, the express is all going through there right now. It's really tough right now around the stadium.
Yeah, and in fact, I've been working on that in terms of trying to figure out how to get there tomorrow. And I'm going to come down from Chattanooga so I can avoid most of Atlanta.
Yeah.
In addition to that, the parking area I've selected is out on the east side at 75s, and then we'll hopefully get a tram bus to get into the stadium from there and avoid most of all that. So there are ways to do it. Yeah. But, if you're coming from the other direction, it's a little dicey here and there around that junction.
Well, any of the people that are around there, I mean, the meat and potatoes are the people that live there, not for those of us coming from other parts of, east or west or north. But, by the way, I would go up heading towards Scottsboro. I would take 35, go over the lake there, come through Rome, and you still hit 75 north of everything. I wouldn't go all the way up to Chattanooga now because there's a lot of construction in Chattanooga right now, too. I got hung up in Chattanooga for quite a while myself the last time coming through there about a week and a half ago. But I'd take the back roads up through Mentone. It's a really pretty ride, and go that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the way I would go.
Yeah, I've done that before, too. Although one time I went through Rome, I managed to get in a fender bender, so I kind of tended to avoid that.
Don't get in a fender bender. No, you don't want to get in a fender bender. All right, the Nats are far and away the favorite in the NL East. The Braves actually finished third. A lot of people, if you ask them about that, they wouldn't know that they actually finished ahead of the Mets and the Phillies last year, five games behind the Marlins. And you think the Marlins are going to slide back as they rebuild that whole thing. Where do the Braves fit in this division? The Mets are better. The Phillies could be sneaky good. I think the Marlins are going to crater. But where do you think they fit in the division?
Yeah, it's just that second, third, and fourth kind of tier that you're going to see. And if what happens to the Mets last year happens again, then everybody's going to be below 500 again other than the Nats. The trick with the Mets is that they really seem like they are a fragile team without depth. Mm-hmm. They don't have depth in the bullpen or the rotation or even the hitters. If any key guy gets injured again, they're in a world of hurt because they just can't fill the position. They won't spend the money and they won't they don't have anything in the farm system to fall back on. So, yes, they look like second place on paper. We'll see if it holds together. Beyond that, I think the Phillies and the Braves are going to go neck and neck most of the year. The Phillies did get a lot better with Jake Arrieta bolstering their rotation. They do have a little hiccup. I think it's Jared Eichhoff is going to be out for a month or so to start the season. So the Braves will benefit a little bit from that because they see the Phillies so much in that first month. But beyond that, they've got Carlos Santana at first base. They got Reese Hoskins. They've moved to the outfield. I'm not sure that helps their outfield defense a lot, but they've got at least some offense, and they've got a couple of guys that can throw the ball. So they're going to have a good shot at least getting to 500 if they can maintain everything else together and get maybe a little bit of production out of Mikhail Franco at third base. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, can the Braves keep pace? It's going to depend on their pitching, both bullpen or rotation and bullpen. And I'm liking what I see in the back end of the bullpen right now. It's a matter of whether they can hold it together in middle innings and see if the starters can go six or seven and get there. Beyond those teams, yeah, the Marlins are going to have a trouble. They beat the University of Miami 22-2 yesterday, but I'm not sure that's exactly representative of the kind of offense they're going to have.
Well, that'd be good if they were in the ACC. So, that'd be great for them if they're in the ACC.
Yeah, they might actually have a chance. But other than that, they're really feeling a glorified AAA team with that kind of looks like they got a couple of major leaguers rehabbing. Real Muto, the catcher, is their best player right now. And I just don't know where else to go with the Marlins. They're going to have trouble breaking 70 wins at all.
Yeah. All right, Carp, I appreciate you. Have fun over there tomorrow and have lunch in Mentone on your way to the game or breakfast anyway. We'll be thinking about you sitting in the nosebleeds.
All right.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thanks. Dylan Carpenter. All right, it's a good break. It's Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039 AM.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039 The Ump, WUMP.
This is Jim Rome with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. The day after Giants owner John Mara set the NFL on fire when he all but hung a for sale sign on Odell Beckham. He tried his best to drop his hits and hit that thing with a back pedal. Quote, I don't know how much more clearly I can say it. I don't want him to be traded. I want him to be a Giant. But I can't sit here and tell you there is a 100% guarantee that's going to happen. I can't say that about any player. End of quote. Well, actually, there is a way for you to say it more clearly, John. You could say, we're not trading Odell. Then Dave Gettleman was asked the same question and said, quote, you don't quit on talent, end quote. You're right, you don't quit on talent, but you would for the right price. Right, Dave? And that right price is a Herschel Walker package or more. Otherwise, I'm not picking up the phone. I'm Jim Rome. CBS Sports
Radio. Are you at home, but you kind of wish you weren't? And you should really stick around the house because of reasons?
No baseball in the house.
That's why Buffalo Wild Wings has a new online ordering experience. So when your kid brings home a stray dog, that's actually a coyote, a rabid one. For whatever reason life requires you to stay put, get takeout with our new online ordering experience and be where you have to be. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Availability may vary.
State Farm agents get what's important to you, even in a deafening crowd.
So my State Farm Insurance helps protect you from any common accidents? Yes!
Don't worry. I know what my man CP3 needs.
What are you doing?
Does this guy...
No, this guy does not count as a common accident.
Woo! That's the way, baby!
Can we
switch seats? Of course!
Get an agent that gets you. State Farm. Here to help life go right.
Yeah.
The Tennessee Valley Golf Card is on sale now. This year's card features a round of golf, including a card at 7 area courses and an hour session at an indoor golf simulator. Visit Gunner's Landing, Lynx at Redstone, Southern Gales, and Point Mallard. Enjoy a day out at these courses and more, including Pine Hill Country Club, Eagle's Nest, and Lynx at Briarmead. A $311 value for just $139. And also use it to perfect your swing at X Golf Huntsville. Log on to umpsports.com.
Napa Know-How.
Keeping it simple is usually a good thing. And when it comes to rewards programs, keeping it simple is always a good thing. That's why we made the Napa Rewards Program effortless. All you need is your phone number to start saving on the parts and tools you need. Then we automatically give you $5 off your next purchase for every $100 you spend. So start saving today with Napa Rewards. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
Shop Lowe's for great savings to help bring your lawn back to life and keep it looking its best all season long. Start with Stay Green Weed and Feed Lawn Fertilizer at a new lower price of $15. And keep your lawn tidy with a Troy-Bilt 2-cycle 17-inch gas trimmer and edger, now for just $89. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through April 4th. While supplies last, see store for details, U.S. only.
Hey, Rocket City, Ryan Brown here from the Jacks Roundtable. We'll be with you on the Up 6 to 10 on Thursday morning. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, joins us at 7:30. He'll talk about the upcoming draft, as well as all these NFL rule changes, the free agency moves, and the coach, Wimps Anderson, at 9:15.
This Thursday, Atlanta Braves baseball is finally back as we celebrate opening day at SunTrust Park.
The 3-2 pitch, here it comes, and there it goes.
With a dynamic roster and some of the most exciting young players in baseball, this Braves squad is looking to make some noise, and it all starts on opening day against division rivals, the Philadelphia Phillies. Live from SunTrust Park in Atlanta, Braves pregame hits the air at 1:55 Central on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Some people see a goat. At Heifer International, we see a mother able to support her growing family. Just one goat can provide a family with nutritious milk. The gift of an animal from Heifer can help a family start a small business. This hand up increases access to education, empowerment, and dignity. This is no ordinary gift. Heifer International. Learn more at heifer.org.
Mostly cloudy and mild, a chance of a few showers this afternoon, the high 75. Tonight, rain and thunderstorms increasing from the west, the low at 60. Tomorrow, rain and thunderstorms likely. Rain could be heavy at times, the high 70. And for Friday, the sky becoming mostly sunny, the high 62. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household. The big dog, Tom Abraham.
So just how small is this Loyola Rambler program? I asked T-Mac on Monday. Remember what I said Monday to you? I said, get somebody that can talk about Loyola. Get like their radio guy or something, you know, their play-by-play guy. And what did you tell me?
I said they don't have a radio crew.
Yeah.
They don't do radio broadcasts.
Yeah. And sure enough, lo and behold, in the trades today, the radio trades today, there's a story. Veteran sportscaster and production company owner Bill Hazen said that if you were in Chicago last night, you would have seen the words Go Loyola in lights on a Blue Cross Blue Shield building. That means they made it into minds of people here. It's a long climb back for the Ramblers. For several years now, the Ramblers have been unable to entice any Chicago area station to air their games. As they go to the Final Four this weekend, they'll do so as the only school in memory to not have their local broadcast regularly airing on commercial radio. Of course, this isn't just reflective of Loyola's rapid ascendancy. Right now, nearly a dozen Chicago radio stations are operating in bankruptcy. Goes on, yada, yada, yada. They got no radio. Holy mackerels. You're in the Final Four. All right, we'll return. It's the Tom Abraham Show, 730, 1039 AM.
Sports Radio, The Ump, because we care.
The Final Lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
From Martinsville Speedway, weekday Truck Series action after a weekend of rain and snow, and John Hunter Nemechek battled to the stripe with Kyle Benjamin to take the checkered flag and the Grandfather Clock Trophy.
I felt pretty confident going into today about our truck. This is actually the truck that we won both races that we won with last year at Gateway and Iowa, and we decided to bring it for the first time to Martinsville here this year. Worked really hard on it all weekend. We unloaded with a lot of speed, and we just kept working on our truck all day. I kept telling Jerry kind of what I thought I needed, and he made a couple slight adjustments, but really nothing. We kind of stayed the balance all day. Huge shout out to Jerry Kennan and the other three guys that we have at our shop that prepare these trucks each and every week.
Driving for Kyle Busch Motorsports in that number 54 truck, Kyle Benjamin snatches second place.
First off, I'd like to thank the team for the opportunity. It was a great truck. They gave me an awesome piece, and unfortunately, at the end right there, we needed a long run to pass the leader. We didn't get it. I felt like our truck was better lap 10 and on, so I was hoping for a long run at the end. We just didn't get what we needed there, but we had a very fast, really fast truck, and I think it showed on that one long green flag run we had how much speed we did have there.
Brett Moffitt was third, followed by Grant Enfinger, and Noah Gregson rounds out the top five as the series takes a huge vacation. Their next race is at Dover in May.
Like us at Facebook.com/thefinallap.
At CVS Pharmacy at Target, we put a little extra heart into everything we do, like actively looking to save you money. Generics, 90-day refills, even rewards. Get a $5 Target coupon for every 10 prescriptions. On your next Target run, stop by CVS Pharmacy. We're the place with the big heart. Not valid on all prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Other restrictions apply. See cvs.com/extracare-target or the pharmacy for details. CVS Pharmacy at Target. Health is everything.
It's 3 p.m., and you just ran out of ink. You have a report due end of day, which is 2 hours from now. You can't push the deadline because end of day means end of today, not end of tomorrow day. What now? Go to your local Staples store. Staples has a huge selection of ink and toner in stock and at low prices every day. So you can get your ink fast for less. End of story.
The durability of tile. The beauty of wood. It's easier than ever to have both with Wood Look Tile. The Home Depot makes the wood look floor you want affordable with Ansley Amber Wood Look Tile starting at $1.89 a square foot. It truly is the best of both worlds, durable and beautiful. Ansley Amber Wood Look Tile starting at just $189 a square foot. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Selection varies by store.
The Tennessee Valley Golf Card is on sale now. This year's card features a round of golf, including a card at 7 area courses and an hour session at an indoor golf simulator. Visit Gunner's Landing, Links at Redstone, Southern Gales, and Point Mallard. Enjoy a day out at these courses and more, including Pine Hill Country Club, Eagle's Nest, and Links at Briarmead. A $311 value for just $139. And also use it to perfect your swing at X Golf Huntsville. Log on to umpsports.com.
What's one of your favorite memories?
That's a tough question. Well, there was this one time I went camping with my parents in a forest back when I was maybe like 8 or 9. And I can remember one night we were laying out in our hammocks and we were just, you know, watching the trees rustling in the wind above us, and we could hear the sounds of the forest all around us. Frogs singing and owls calling and the creek running nearby. It was amazing. It felt like we were a part of it all. I don't know if I do it justice trying to describe it, but I'll definitely never forget it.
Most of us have a memory of being in nature we'll never forget. Let's protect the world's natural places so more memories can be made for generations to come. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Shop Lowe's for great savings to help bring your lawn back to life and keep it looking its best all season long. Start with Stay Green Weed and Feed Lawn Fertilizer at a new lower price of $15. And keep your lawn tidy with a Troy-Bilt 2-cycle 17-inch gas trimmer and edger, now for just $89. All projects,
all sports, all the time, all over the Tennessee Valley. WUMP Madison, W28 OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station.